Hey, Tripodders, I want to jump in real quick just to say hi and remind you to rate us on iTunes. This is how we'll keep growing and how people who don't hear us on WWNO, on the terrestrial broadcast, can find us and start listening. So jump on iTunes and give us some stars and stripes. If you can, write a review. Thank you so much. Okay, now let's get to this conversation I had recently with Rafat Ali. He is the founder and CEO of Skift, which is a media company that looks at global travel trends. I called Rafat to talk about a report that his company published about civil rights tourism in the Deep South. This part of the country has historically steered clear of slavery and Jim Crow when it comes to tourism, when it comes to museums, and focused more on topics like music, art, and architecture. But civil rights museums are now becoming an important part of the South's tourism economy, even though, as Rafat pointed out, state tourism boards haven't really embraced this shift. So he and I discussed where Southern states are at when it comes to civil rights tourism and why the tourism boards should jump on board. This is another edition of Tripod Extra. Enjoy.
We did a survey of some of the websites of different states in South, and nobody has really done a good job. Louisiana, Mississippi and others, Texas, Florida, which obviously has a million other things to market, sees no reason to market civil rights tourism. So we're in a very particular moment in time, 2016, where, as you very well know, the national conversation is around sort of the new civil rights, if you will. And this awareness means that people are demanding a lot of things that typically the older generations may not have been able to demand in the past. And while these museums obviously don't come up overnight, the African American History Museum opened, September 24th, it's all coming together at a very, very interesting moment in time. So consciousness in these, all of these things are rising. And the spending power of, let's say, the African Americans in U.S., traveling within U.S. and outside U.S., is pretty high. Same with Hispanic Americans or any other kind of people of color. So there is awareness primarily as a result of the commercial potential now, or at least beginning to get awareness. That's why you see many of these museums and other efforts coming together now and figuring out ways to market these destinations, which otherwise may or may not have been marketed before.
At the same time, I'm thinking about the consumer, so to speak, or the tourist who, you know, usually associate travel with entertainment or leisure. So how do these experiences and opportunities fit in, you know, in terms of a motive to go participate in those options?
Yeah, it's a fabulous question. So typically tourism has been marketed by tourist boards, including New Orleans, with the marquee items. For instance, in New Orleans, jazz, Creole, the Cajun cuisine, and New York would be, you know, Times Square and Broadway and, you know, typical that kind of stuff. But as a more aware generation is coming into youth and beyond, they're looking for experiences that are deeper. And I think that tourism boards are realizing that if they want to attract a wider audience, a newer generation of travelers, they'll have to create, whether the infrastructure or marketing for it, to this new generation of consumers.
So
Atlanta has done something very smart. With their museum, Civil Rights Museum, Coca-Cola donated the land. It's next to their headquarters and their own museum. So people who are visiting that, which obviously has a big name for tourists who come to Atlanta, this is an add-on that then potentially makes it more mainstream. So I think that that was a very, very, very smart move on their part, not just making it something that's so special that only a very small crowd goes there, but it's part of the mainstream experience. I think that's the biggest key in marketing of, let's say, civil rights tourism.
There's this quote from Doug Shipman, one of the museum's board of directors for that Atlanta museum, and he said, "Civil rights and human rights should be Atlanta's signature destination topic, like New Orleans and jazz." And I thought, mm-hmm, that was interesting because, yes, that's very true. Just as you mentioned, you know, jazz and food, that's what we really push here. But couldn't someone make the same argument that civil rights and human rights should be New Orleans' signature?
Yeah, I mean, the history of jazz and how it came about, and you know, the slave plantations, if you really want to peel the layers and go back, there would be a lot of interest in it. And I do think that Louisiana and New Orleans is missing out. New Orleans tourism is having a moment. It's booming. 2015 numbers were like 27% more than 2014, which is crazy growth numbers. Also, a lot of people travel to New Orleans for conferences and meetings. That is as diverse as it could possibly be, the crowd that's coming there. So I think that's a missed opportunity.
So New Orleans, as you were saying, the tourism numbers are going up. The tricentennial is in 2018. I know that the Tourism Marketing Board here, they want 18 million tourists in 2018. I'm interested in what your advice would be to the Tourism Board in regards to this goal and why they should consider incorporating civil rights tourism into their marketing strategy.
So I think New Orleans, in that sense, has to bring in some new cultural experiences to bring a new type of consumer there, a very multicultural, diverse consumer that comes for many things besides just the mainstream attractions. If America will be majority minority in by 2050, and we're sort of shooting ahead, but then that majority will demand a lot of more things than we're giving them today.
So in the analysis that SCIF does, have you been able to cull any type of data for the cities that are more out front, these cities in the South that are taking steps that right now Louisiana has yet to take? What has been the reward and benefit for those cities?
The reward and benefit of cannot just be set in terms of tourism. It also has to be looked at in terms of revitalization of the cities themselves, of people living there. Memphis is a great example. So the types of people that are moving into Memphis, one of the fastest growing cities in America, a younger, more diverse generation is living and reinventing themselves beyond just the typical Memphis imagery. Nashville is another example. Louisville is another example. And these are cities that typically have been relatively non-diverse, have a very more diverse group moving in, young people that are either multi-ethnic or ethnic in general, or people of color. So I think the revitalization of the cities and the downtown and the young people moving in, creating these, some people laugh at it, but artisanal coffee shops. But artisanal coffee shops, yes, you can laugh in the face of it, but because you know, people laugh at hipsters or make fun of it. But the reality is it's a signifier of a larger trend. It's a signifier of things that make you attract a different and a more diverse type of consumer. And it starts with the consumer. Reality is everything starts with a money motive. And this is true in many ways in tourism. The money motive cannot be taken away from it. It's not just altruism to start these things. There's a money motive behind it too. And it just makes business sense.
There's a big push right now and movement to take down and remove the many Confederate monuments that are flag all around the city of New Orleans.
Not just flag like happened in South Carolina. No, similar to that.
Very similar. There's a place called Lee Circle right in the center of the business district where Robert E. Lee is, you know, high in the air on this pillar. There's the Jefferson Davis monument on Jefferson Davis Parkway. And so a lot of people want to take them down. A lot of people don't want to take them down. Is there potential for civil rights tourism to capitalize on these monuments possibly being removed or moved and for something to be done with this controversy?
Yeah, I think that what happened in South Carolina was an amazing moment in time. And, you know, you have to give huge, huge credit to the governor there. It was just such a fabulous moment for so many people in so many ways. And I think that single-handedly, I'm going to guess, improved the image of South Carolina by at least 10%, if not more. Tourism marketing in general is a lot about perceptions. So in case of New Orleans and Louisiana, getting rid of these can only help in terms of improving the image of one of the poorest states in the country. At some point, there will be a museum of removed Confederate artifacts somewhere and an acknowledgement of that. But I think that sort of acknowledging it in reverse, in the sense that bringing in out of the shadows and into the mainstream, can only help.
I've been speaking with Rafat Ali. He is the CEO and founder of SCIFT, a media company that looks at and studies global travel trends. Rafat, it's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you for having me.